This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Athletic Greens. Ensure your body gets the nutrition it needs. Athletic Greens has a special offer for our listeners. Just go to athleticgreens.com/Spartan, and then when you place your order, they'll send you a free travel pack with 20 individually wrapped packets. That's a free offer just for our listeners.
We are here on the farm, Spartan Up podcast, with a very special guest, Zach Evanesh. Who the hell is Zach Evanesh? Zach is the reason we have 200 podcasts. You remember that first day you nudged me? We were launching the book. You were like, you got to do a podcast. And I thought it was a food.
Don't give me so much credit. Yeah, 200 podcasts. We did two podcasts. We did a mini documentary. And
4 years ago.
4 years.
Maybe more. Maybe four and a half years ago.
Yeah. Time is going too fast. And this is a very unique episode, not just because it's the 200th episode, but we got to thank some people. So
yeah, we got to thank Dell, who's on the podcast often, Colonel Nye, Dr. Johnny, Sephra, Marion, who's always filming, relentlessly meticulous behind the camera, and somebody else, who I don't know who. Oh, the audience.
Without the audience,
we wouldn't even have a podcast.
Exactly.
So, and all the guests. I mean, we pick up the phone, right? Amazing. We want to go to the Pentagon. We get somehow a meeting at the Pentagon. We want meeting with Richard Branson. We get a meeting with Richard Branson. So
I'm impressed.
All thanks to you.
No. Now, listen, this is a unique one because let's talk about why this is a little bit of a different episode than the norm.
Yeah, well, I guess I'm going to be interviewed and my wife, Courtney, is going to be interviewed. And she was dead set against being interviewed. So I didn't listen to what she says. And for all I know, it's a, I don't know what she says.
I don't know. We may not even want to, when it's released. Yeah, don't watch, don't listen, better off not knowing. But I think it's going to be awesome because the listeners are going to get a very unique insight into, Courtney living with a lunatic.
So I will give you a tip. There are many times where I meet people in airports on the street in Slovakia that I'll say, oh, Joe, you changed my life. I'm back with my husband. I'm back with my wife. I lost 40 pounds. I no longer drink. Spartan is awesome. When I tell my wife that, she's like, well, they don't have to live with you.
Oh.
Welcome to Spartan Up Podcast. It's my honor today, Colonel Tim Nye here, to interview my boss, my friend, mentor here, Joe DeSena. This is our 200th episode, so this is really kind of a milestone event for us. I know you got interviewed number one by our also good friend, Johnny Waite, but 200 of these have now passed, and so we thought it was a good time to get back together and kind of ask you what you've learned, where is this thing going, did it go where you thought it was going? Kind of, what are the lessons you've taken from all of those interviews that we've done?
Yeah, I feel like a walking encyclopedia. I've picked up so much knowledge. I don't even know how many years. Is it like 3 years, 4 years?
It's been three.
Yeah, three plus years. And we've probably done more than 200 interviews because many of them haven't published yet. So it's been awesome. I know. You know what's awesome, which I think you would agree with, is we have tremendous access to anybody or anything.
So far, no one that you've asked has told you no, right?
No one says no.
You've reached out to some pretty
heavy hitters. We get to anybody, and so a huge honor for me. Even when you said my boss, that feels a little weird because you're a colonel.
I was a colonel.
I'm not even infantry. So.
Joe, in case you don't know, you're signing the paycheck, so that makes you the boss.
Got it. But learned a lot. Men and women with their own experiences in life have unique sets of knowledge that they've got to impart. And we always, on the podcast, try to make it really succinct and boil it down to a couple of big takeaway points. And here's one I actually learned that has not been released on a podcast. And this is from George LeMond, and he's one of the wealthiest guys in the world. And I had the fortune of spending close to a day at his house in Switzerland while Federer was playing tennis.
On the back lawn?
On the back lawn. they have a, he's got the only, like...
You know, a lot of your listeners don't travel in that world. You understand that, right?
I don't travel in that world, and other than the podcast. And I'm hanging out, and he's teaching me as he's feeding the ducks. And he's telling me about the ducks. And I it was unbelievable, right? And he owns Burger King, Heinz, and Anheuser-Busch. He's worth, you know, $35 billion. He's one of the only people Warren Buffett has said he wished he invested more with.
Wow.
And his claim to fame could be seen throughout the day with him on his feeding of the ducks. And what I mean by that is he grabbed, you know, four or five slices of bread. We walked a couple of hundred yards to the lake, and he fed the ducks as he taught me lessons. At the end of the lessons, there was a slice of bread left. It wasn't even a full slice. We walked back the 200 plus yards to the house, and he put the bread back in.
Oh, to save it.
The bread.
Yeah, like and every penny counts.
Every penny counts. And we've heard about people in business over the years, whether it was a chairman and founder of Bear Stearns or AIG that save paper clips and rubber bands and have that mentality. But he really boiled it down to, look, expenses are like fingernails. They got to be clipped all the time. HR is like a rabbit farm. Everybody wants an assistant. Everybody wants some extra person. Yeah. And you've got to constantly be cutting back.
Yeah, but for the individual, me, my fingernails need to grow as well, though, right?
Yeah, and not to sound like a what was the Apple commercial in 1984? Very Orwellian.
Oh, the one where they smashed it. Yeah.
Not to sound like that, like, right. Where it's overpowering management and screw the employees. It wasn't.
Right, but it's constant maintenance.
Constant maintenance, and what he said was, anytime he goes out and buys a company, he said, we can pull $3 billion of excess expense out of that company. And he said, you'd be shocked because you would think that if it was founded by a family, Bush, Anheuser-Busch, for example, that they'd be on top of it.
Yeah, they wouldn't. Lean.
It'd be lean. And he said, it's not.
But isn't that you, though? Isn't that Spartan what you're trying to do is take people and show them? We're here doing the interview, happens to coincide where Joe's beautiful home, beautiful farm, and there's an Agogi going on outside. So Agogi 009. Isn't that the same concept you're talking about, though? You're taking people and stripping them down, right, to show them that they can perform and function and get through life and everything without all of the excess, right? They can go out and live in the woods, survive, and kind of get rid of all of the extraneous things they don't need.
Well, I mean, at its core, that's the meaning of the word Spartan, right?
Right,
and we even use that to describe a lifestyle that's stripped and devoid of excess. And that's exactly right. So this all started because I was doing crazy races around the world myself, and my buddy, who was leading the charge for the USA wrestling team, I had put in a little adventure race that I put together. And there was a section of the race where they had to drag kayaks through the mud, call it a half mile. It started at knee-deep mud, and it went up to your waist. And everybody had been through the mud, got their kayaks in the water, and were already paddling. And here I find that the lead of USA Wrestling is stuck in the mud. Not physically stuck, mentally stuck.
Like, right.
And I grab the kayak, and I pull the thing, and I throw it in the water. I stick him, and I go. Later that day, he grabs me and he says, how'd you know how to do that? And I said, how'd I know how to do what? Yeah. How'd you know how to just push through and get going? I was like, what are you talking about? Like, what else would you do?
Right,
like,
what are your options at that point?
Now, you probably know that from the military because that's why they put you through basic training to show you those things. And so I think people get stuck in life and business and in every aspect of what they do on a daily basis because we've been taught probably not a generation that went through a depression or World War II, but certainly a generation coming up now that you need all these things, these extra things.
You've become used to them.
Yeah.
You don't.
What do you do without your phone?
Well,
oh my God.
People think they need them. That's what you're trying to say. But we don't really need them. But we become used to them. Right?
We become used to them, and that happens in business, and it happens in your personal life, and I think you just described it really well, which is we strip them down naked at this Agogi, not actually naked.
Although yesterday was pretty close. they were in mud and swimming down in the shorts.
But you've got all the tools you need to get through most of life. We've done it for a million plus years on the planet, and so that's exact. So that's one big lesson, right? Like don't constant maintenance. Don't let certainly when running a business, don't let stuff run wild because you find yourself out of business pretty quickly.
Yeah. But what I want to ask you too is. So of the 200 interviews, and maybe you know a name right away, maybe you have to think about it a little bit, but who have you learned? I know you just said you learned from, but who's made you change your mind on something? Or has anybody? I mean, you've got a vision and philosophy. Has anybody said, you know, our buddy Cal Fussman or something is, hey, you don't have to be pushing so fast, so forward all the time. You can take it back a little bit. Even Gabby Reese said, and not everything's a sport. It can be for fun kind of stuff. Is there anybody that's had you second guess yourself a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, certainly. I mean, you brought him up. Cal Fussman has got me second guessing my way in life, my methodologies, my ethos. But I, you know, his philosophy and a lot of people, you know, my family, my mother, everybody used to, do this and say, slow down, moderation,
smell
the roses. And my answer to that is, well, who the hell fertilizes, waters, and trims the roses?
Yeah.
Because if everybody's smelling the roses,
who's out doing the work? Right.
And so, and by the way, I actually enjoy work, right? Like I remember in college, I worked as a bar back and everybody's partying, everybody's drinking, and I've got the fortune. I'm saying to myself, I got the fortune. I'm carrying heavy boxes and stuff up and down the stairs. I'm getting exercise. But I don't have a smile because I don't smile a lot. But that doesn't mean I'm not happy on the inside. And all my peers
trust
are saying,
me, I know that.
You got to enjoy yourself more. You got. And I'm thinking, I'm having a fucking blast right now. I don't know about you. You're drunk and stupid. And
yeah.
And so, but Cal has definitely tried to influence me. The funny thing about Cal, nobody knows this, is he's coming more my way.
Yeah, I've seen it in him.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
He's coming more my way.
He was out in Los Angeles. He did the race.
Yeah.
And like anybody who goes out and does it for the first time,
yeah.
he was full of pride, right? He was a peacock walking around there. He was very happy with himself, and he should be.
So not to say we all shouldn't slow down, put down the phone, and do some of that stuff, but there's a lot of work to do here. I want to change 100 million lives. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do that in moderation and sitting on a couch.
All right. Well, great. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we want to talk a little bit about you're putting out your third book, right? The Spartan Way.
The Spartan Way.
So we've had Spartan Up, Spartan Fit, and now Spartan Way.
It sounds like a tongue twister.
So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about that. What's in it? Kind of your roadmap for all
of
this,
sure.
I think.
So let's do it.
All right. So let's take our Spartan break. So today's show is brought to us by Athletic Greens, and we're really fortunate today. I just recently started taking these, but Zach Evanis, kind of a Spartan legend, Spartan friend, is here and came by and said, oh, man, I've been taking those for years and
yes.
Love them. So, you know, you're a perfect guy to talk about them, and what do you think?
Yeah, I love it. So for me, I started taking Athletic Greens, I feel like 6-7 years ago. And then there was a little time where I got away from it, and I said, I'm so busy, I'm forgetting to take my vitamins in the morning, or I was taking, you know, 20,
right.
30 pills at once. And as impressive as it is to show my kids that I could swallow 20 pills, I said, I got to get back to just doing something simple,
something
that tastes great, one shot. So I have my Athletic Greens either for breakfast or sometime later on at night. And it just, I always say, what feels better than that feeling of health, knowing that I'm getting the vitamins, I'm getting the minerals. Just good to be healthy. Feels great.
Yeah, well, I tell you, I just started taking them recently. So, you know, the taste is fine. Now, I haven't taken them long enough to know the results yet. I don't think it's a, you know, take it and all of a sudden. So,
right.
So, but I'm looking forward to it because it's packed with the ingredients, right?
Yes.
You've got every vitamin you can name, A, B, C, K, and then it's got all kinds of things in there from green teas to apples to broccoli. So it's just packed with everything you can name. So we're looking forward to trying out this product. And if you want to try out this product, go to athleticgreens.com/Spartan and you'll get a free travel pack with 20 individually wrapped packets.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Athletic Greens. Ensure your body gets the nutrition it needs. Athletic Greens has a special offer for our listeners. Just go to athleticgreens.com/Spartan, and then when you place your order, they'll send you a free travel pack with 20 individually wrapped packets. That's a free offer just for our listeners.
Welcome back to Spartan Up Podcast. I'm here with Joe DeSena on episode 200. So, Joe, before we took the break, we were talking about your new book coming out, The Spartan Way. What's different? What do you got in this one that you didn't have in the other ones, and why should people pick it up?
Yeah, so I've been thinking about what's in this book for 35 years, believe it or not, more, 36 years. And what I mean by that is when I first started my first business, I was able to get customers from existing businesses that have been around for 10 or 15 years. And I scratched my head because I said, how is it possible that somebody's older than me? I'm a young kid, I'm a preteen teenager, and I'm taking customers from existing businesses with strategies and money, but I had no money. And then I questioned myself when I started to do long runs and crazy races. And what was it that got me from the start to the finish, but yet other people weren't getting to finish? How have I survived? How has my wife survived, 15 years of marriage and other people have not? And so I started to lay out, thanks to you, you don't know this, some principles, some basic principles, age-old principles that I probably got to hone over the years, even pre-teens, and then share on speeches to the military, because you walked me around to some military installations and I got to give speeches, and I had to quickly put together my speech, and that became this book, basically. It was like, what are these 10 principles that when you practice them and you really hone in on them, they're going to help you finish a race, finish a business, not finish a business, succeed a business, keep your marriage together when the going gets tough. And so it's 10 principles. It's a roadmap to success, however you define success. Success doesn't have to be defined on
by money.
It's achieving goal.
It's really how far you've come kind of from where you started, right?
Yeah.
Not everybody starts in the same spot.
That's right. So I'm convinced that if you hone in on these principles, you'll succeed at everything. And by the way, I've gotten backup from the 200-plus interviews that I'm not crazy, that these are...
Right, you verified them.
I verified
them. Other successful people have similar ideas. But, all right, so you've got these 10. Give us a couple of them.
Well, the most important one is knowing your true north, knowing your purpose. Simon Sinek... You could look him up and check out his TED talk. He'll what's your why?
Right.
Your true north, your purpose is your why. What wakes you up in the morning? By the way, that can change. It's changed for me. It's probably changed for you.
Well, as you mature, jobs, children, certainly.
And then once you know your why, which is very hard to figure out, some people never figure it out. I've learned some techniques along the way, but you got to read the book to get those techniques because we make 11 cents on every book sold. It's just the way that industry works.
Well, I just like the fact you said we, so that's great. Go team.
You get one set.
Go team.
Kidding.
You were talking just about your trades, true north.
And so some people never figure out their true north. And then aligning, once you do figure it out, aligning your beliefs and values. So what do I mean by that? If you are focused on being very healthy, if that's your true north, I'm going to be the healthiest guy I can be. Everything I do is going to be focused on that. But you believe it's okay to drink soda and smoke cigarettes. You're not hitting the target. Your values and beliefs are not aligned. But a lot of people are like that, believe it or not, right? Like, I have marriage and family is everything. But, it's okay to flirt.
Right.
That doesn't really work. So business. I want to build this tremendous business. But Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I hang out with my buddies and we drink all weekend. Well, your business is probably not going to thrive.
Well, it's not going to go where you envision it to go.
So that's one principle, knowing your true north, knowing your purpose. And then it's backstories and it's the science behind why that's so important.
Yeah, and I had the privilege of, as you said, going on a couple of these speeches with you and also on the leadership series we do at the stadium runs.
Yeah.
And it came out in there. Somebody asked you the question, and I think you acknowledge it, is that in all of your stories, because that's what you really are as well, is at your core a storyteller, right?
Yeah.
So when you're making points, you're telling stories, and all of them have to do with your interaction with other people, how somebody has helped you along the way, stuff. So just kind of talk about the importance of that a little bit, about not as hard as you're working, you can't get there by yourself kind of thing.
What's funny about that, because you were very sensitive just now on we can't say where that happened, but there was a military installation where I was giving a speech, yeah. And we went through all the principles, and we went through all the stories, and one of the people in the audience raised her hand and said exactly what you said. Like, hey, I heard all your stories, Mr. DeSena. I heard all your principles, but I don't hear anything about team other than, like, it is a team. It is a group effort. It is the social aspect that helps you achieve. And I was like, you know what? You're absolutely right. The book's got to be edited. And there's no doubt about it that I would not have achieved any success in any part of my life. None of us would without the people around us, right? It takes a village. And because I'm not a hugger, and I'm not, I'm just not one of these touchy-feely right. kind of guys, I didn't.
Although you do like to do this.
I do like to do that. It didn't come to me right out of the gate that was something we should present in the book. So what we did, based on that interview, based on that yeah. experience, is we're creating that 11th principle. Not even creating. I mean, it's the most important principle there is.
Highlighting it,
putting it on the internet, and everybody will have access to that one. So if
yeah, and it's really not that it wasn't in there, because it was, as the soldier said, it was weaved throughout. So yeah. It was more that it was
Wasn't highlighted.
Yeah, it wasn't pulled right. out individually.
Yeah.
All right, so let's back up just a little bit, though, because we go back to where we kind of started on the 200 interviews. Again, we started on a couple of the lessons you learned. Let's back up there a little bit and go again on pull out another lesson or two from some
yeah,
of your,
so, you know, when
not
I,
your favorites, but ones that that impacted you?
It's one big amalgamation in my head of all these lessons and everything. Right. And so let's just talk in general. I think you would agree, because you've been there with me on all these podcasts, is you've got to change your frame of reference, right? You talk to all these folks, and one thing that helps them get through life is, you know, whether it's having empathy or just understanding that things are hard and that we shouldn't get upset over the silly stuff, and that there's folks less fortunate, and that we get to do this rather than we have to do this, right? And it just makes life easier. So with that, Stephen Pressfield.
Yeah,
right?
I remember that
you
one
with
well.
Me, you were yes. with me, I think, yep. when we did that interview. And he said, you know, when he finally figured out that every morning, the second your eyes open up, you're going to face resistance,
right?
Life became much easier.
Yeah, he was talking about the greatest challenge in the world is putting words on a piece of paper, right?
Yeah.
It's blank, and you're going to make it into something, but every day is a battle, if you will.
Every day is a battle, and I think we all think that it's going to get easier and that we're going to wake up one day and miraculously words just show up on the paper, or the job just gets done, or the kids don't scream. That's not what happens. It actually, it's probably going to be harder every day. You just got to be more proficient at dealing with it. Right.
Right. Which is, again, not to be too commercialized here, but the whole concept of Spartan, right? The obstacle immunity.
Yes.
You get used to the adversity, overcome the adversity. The next time it's staring you in the face, you have a...
No big deal.
No big deal. You kind of have a bank of it, you know, and say, oh, okay, I've done that before. I've lived through that. Whatever. What's the worst that can happen here? Move.
How would we possibly expect to deal with challenges if we haven't practiced? Like, you can't just go play a piano from scratch.
Right.
Right? You're not going to cook a French four-star meal from scratch unless you practice. And so we should practice dealing with obstacles and dealing with challenges, because they are coming. And they're going to come every day.
And unexpectedly.
So get good at them.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what we do. We manufacture adversity in people's lives. Angela Duckworth. Angela Duckworth was a great...
Grit coach.
You were with me there, too.
Yes, I was.
Right?
The grit... expert.
Preeminent expert, scientist. She called herself a scientist on grit, right? And grit is that ability to perform and stay excited and motivated even in the darkest of times. So you're learning how to play the piano using that example. You're 4 years in. You're on that thing every day for an hour, and it sucks. You're not getting any better. But somehow, you're smiling and enjoying the experience. That's the definition of grit. And I think you got to fake it. You got to fake it.
Yeah, a little bit, right. It instills confidence in others around you.
Yeah, right.
I mean, even if you don't know what you're doing, step forward, speak with a loud, authoritative voice.
Right.
Take charge.
He or she must know what they're doing.
Right, and people will line up behind you, right?
And you're by the way, your own body and mind starts to change and starts to convince yourself that this is okay.
Well, success breeds success.
Right.
Plus, when you're put into positions of responsibility, leadership, you do grow, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you rise to the challenge, you will.
Yeah.
It just makes you have to do things better when you know that people are watching you.
Yeah.
Right. And the other thing I wanted to say real quick before I forget, just and Marion, our producer, is off camera as always here, but notice that Joe, every one that he's pulled out is one that I've been involved in with. So as we go forward, just remember that. You say, maybe I should have Tim with me here today.
Liam Collins, I don't know, what's his rank?
Colonel.
Colonel Liam Collins.
If he's still a colonel, but colonel at least.
And we might have been there together, I'm not sure. I interviewed him. And he taught me, because I was curious, how in the military do you help individuals grow their capability towards grit and adversity? And he said it's kind of like stretching a rubber band, right? We stretch the rubber band right to the breaking point, and then we retract a little bit, let them digest that, and then we go a little further, and then we retract a little bit. And, you know, we were doing a lot of that with the races we do, but I didn't have the science behind it, and military's been doing it for a long time.
Well, that's it, and they've got a roadmap, right? I mean, they know it's up or out. You know, you take on new responsibilities, new rank, or you have to leave kind of thing. So they've got professional schooling along the way. You know, if you're a major in the United States Army, you've got to go get a master's degree, those kinds of things. You know, I mean, there are milestones along the way you have to hit. You have to be a company commander. You know, you have to go to college, those kinds of things. Boom.
Sure.
And if you don't, then you're culled from the herd, essentially.
Yeah.
Which in corporate life and civilian life and stuff don't always have the ability to do that, to have that kind of a structured format.
No. That's a little loose around the edges everywhere else.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not denigrating it. But that's the military has stamped there.
Sure.
All right.
Wait, I got more.
Okay, get more.
Wim Hof, who was a recent one.
Which I was not at. But
you
did.
You were not there, so sorry about that.
It's okay, but I enjoyed the interview. He was quite a character.
Well, I mean, just the cold water, the concept of, I mean, I've been doing it since I'm a kid. I don't know why. I had no reason for it other than I wanted to torture myself. But you take that cold shower, and he claims the science is proving out that the body, when we're born, has brown fat.
Right.
When we live in a climate-controlled environment, which most of us do, at least in the first world, we start to lose that because we don't need it, right? Use it or lose it. And so we start to get white fat, which is less healthy, less protective in those kinds of situations. And so in addition to that, the body starts to reconnect deeper connections between the body and the mind by taking those kind of cold showers. There's science coming out of Switzerland where they're doing a brain study that's saying the brain actually needs those kinds of shocks, getting out of your comfort zone, running in the rain, going a little further than you thought you would, cold shower, and that helps kind of waken things up as opposed to laying on the couch eating popcorn and watching TV. You're smiling.
Yeah, I'm smiling because you picked out three or four of my traits here with the
soda. Habits.
Yes, habits, yeah. Oh, but that was a great interview, and I a little bit more skeptical, I would say, right? I mean, I as I am in many things, so that's nothing. But I've done a lot of reading since that interview, and it really, they say the cold water is great for your skin and great for your hair.
Yeah.
And that it exactly, if you're showering, to cycle through, to put it on cold, back to hot, back to cold for a minute or so each time, and you get these effects, you know.
So you can, up.
So you can sit in a pool of ice or something like our Seal Fit Mark Devine does, and some of the other practitioners, Johnny Waite does.
Yeah.
Or you can do the showers like you do, and your body's going to kind of react the same way to it. So.
Yeah. Those are big ones. Obviously, it's endless. So if you're listening out there, if you wouldn't mind just popping through 200 interviews quickly.
Where can they find those, Joe?
Spartan.com/podcast. And good news is, I think they're free.
They are. And you can get them on iTunes. You can get them on YouTube. Just go out there and Google them. There's type in Joe DeSena, type in Spartan on podcast.
Type in Colonel Nye.
It's going to come back to here. And you're going to hear Joe go through 200 interviews, some amazing personalities, some really smart people, some really physical people, but some really, really mental, not mental, with
switched
with the
on.
Look at,
switched
yeah,
on.
They are.
People are switched on. In the old days, you and I had to buy a set of Britannica encyclopedias.
You got to read through them, right?
You got to read through them. Now you just...
You made it easy for us.
Made it easy. It's like a pill.
Well, here we go. This is going to be a real special bonus part of this 200th episode.
More importantly, did you like that interview?
I love that interview. I mean, my favorite part was when Corona and I had to slap you, and I thought it was just...
interrogate a little bit?
Yeah, I thought that was awesome, because sometimes...
Everybody needs a good kick.
That's right. Sometimes you do need that. So the next interview, I can't wait to... for people to hear this, because this is the first time that your wife has ever been interviewed.
Yeah, no, she wouldn't. She was against this whole thing. I remember years ago, we were getting phone calls from Discovery Channel, History Channel, et cetera, wanting to do TV shows, and she was hanging up, deleting the messages, and we're not doing any of that stuff. Our family's never going to be. So this podcast caught her off guard, and I was surprised that she was willing to do the interview. I don't know what she says. So yeah. For all I know, she's leaving me a note and gone.
Well, I probably wouldn't even watch it. Yeah, just don't even worry.
It's been great. Catch you later.
We're here at Pittsfield in Joe DeSena's barn in the beautiful Riverside Farms. And today, a really great pleasure, great honor for me. We're going to get a chance to, we've heard a lot about Joe DeSena over the years, and rightfully so. Today we're going to learn a little bit about Courtney DeSena, the woman, Joe's partner, the woman behind him, maybe his drive, I would assume, and we're going to find out a little bit about you, because you're, I think, probably for most of the people out there, a little bit of a mystery, because you're not anywhere near as public as your husband. So we're going to just talk and ask you a couple questions, and I know that you're not as public as Joe, but we're just going to have a little chat here, and I think it's going to be fine. So first... Okay. Let's find out a little bit about you, all right? So your background. What's your background?
Hello. You're really good at this, by the way. You said you're excellent at this. So I grew up in Massachusetts, just south of Boston.
Okay.
I have a great family there, brother and sister. Parents just celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary.
Oh, very nice. So yeah, I've met them before out here. They were really nice people.
Yeah. Yeah, they're good. I don't know. I grew up playing lots of sports and, went to school and went to college and Penn State.
Okay, I was going to say, so you're being a little bit coy.
Yeah.
So you're right. I will have to. So Penn State, you played what?
I played soccer.
Okay. And what's your claim to fame there?
My claim to fame is that we had a great team. When I first started there, they had just started a varsity program. So it was a brand new program. And then we did better and better. So Penn State now has been like a powerhouse in women's soccer for a while.
And many sports. So,
yes. It's a great, great school.
But were you the first scholarship
female soccer
player?
I think I was one of the first ones. Okay. Yeah, I had a scholarship there. And, I was captain my senior year, and then we went to the Final Four, and we did well.
All right, so now we're getting there. So these are all pretty big accolades. Most people don't participate in a Division I sport, an NCAA, and make it to the Final Four of any sport and be the captain of their team and just kind of say it as if it just happened.
Yes, well, it definitely was a lot of work, behind the scenes, but I loved it. It was never a... you know, hard decision. It wasn't like my parents were driving me to push me to play soccer. I've always liked sports, and I really like team sports, and so this is so nice. Now, I haven't talked about this in, you know, years. These are like the glory days. So.
Well, you're still in them. You're still in them because through your background, you then meet Joe, merge, mesh, whatever, but have children.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And are raising four exceptional
young children.
But their DNA stock, as we're saying, there's a lot of athletic DNA in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you add Joe's crazy level of drive.
I know. You never know what you're going to get. So
I know that part of this podcast, the impetus behind it was Joe kind of questioning parenting, if you will. You know, is he pushing mm-hmm. too hard? How do you define success and those kinds of things? So,
yeah.
So we don't really need all that. We just need to know your answer. What's going on? How's he doing as a parent?
That is a good question. I mean, he's great, right? You know, he's obviously he loves the kids. He loves them. So every decision that he makes comes from that. So, you know, there's
all
no,
right. That's the talking
yeah,
points. You know what I mean? Give me the
real.
No, give me
no
the grit.
There's no blueprint for this. I mean, he's doing his best. You know, we came from different worlds. You know, where we grew up, and we're very different people, I think, in some ways. But we love the kids, and he definitely wants to push them. And
I don't know if you saw the podcast where your husband interviewed Gabby Reese.
I heard it. But, I saw that. Yeah, thought she was super cool.
Oh, she was great.
I love it
because
you get to hear, you know,
right.
Through osmosis.
But she had
a lot of these things. She
had a very similar response and told him, it's not always about a sport. Sometimes it's just mm-hmm. a game. You can just go play.
Yeah, you can.
It doesn't
just go
have
fun.
To be about who won that day. Did you just go have a good time?
Definitely. I mean, I played a lot of soccer, and for me, I enjoy like playing soccer on the beach or barefoot in the backyard as much as an organized game. So I hope my kids are like that. I hope they just find, they have fun in what they're doing. Because if you're not having, I mean, I get the whole purposeful suffering. I know that's like
right.
a big thing for Joe. And I know he like really loves just pushing and driving, and that's what makes him tick. And it's fun to be around somebody who's passionate and knows what they want, but it's also nice to have a balance and to do things for the sake of having fun, being with your friends, playing sports, and or your family.
So this would be like my Oprah moment then.
This is like my biggest nightmare. I have been avoiding these conversations for years.
We're doing well, aren't we?
I know.
Well,
okay. I like you so much. You're easy.
Well, that's very, very kind of you. So you won't like me as much.
This is a nightmare. Okay.
You won't like me as much after this question. So what does Joe push you at?
Like everything, you know. I mean, you've met him.
Yeah.
I mean, he pushes. That's his thing.
Yeah.
He pushes. So, everything. He can't help it. He's just sort of wired
that way.
I mean, this is his superpower, is to motivate people. And
one more question, because this wouldn't be a real interview unless I ask this, though, because everybody wants to know this, I imagine. Always want to hear the first date kind of story. So how'd you guys meet?
So we met on Nantucket. I was working in Boston, and there was a group of friends that were doing a running race out in Nantucket, and it was a mini Ironman, very mini, and you needed to have a girl on your team. So I was like the girl on my team, a bunch of guys I worked with, and my section was a 1 mile run. And then as soon as my section was over, you like clap for the rest of the
right.
people coming through. So anyway, I just happened to be standing next to the water station at this race. And I was 23 and, you know, just hanging out for the weekend in Nantucket and, you know, clapping for my teammates. And it was a running race. So the section that I saw was all these people in shorts and sneakers and they're running. Well, there was like one strange guy who had on a wetsuit and no shoes, and you could see him from a distance coming
sure.
down the road, and he looked like a surfer that had just been inspired by all these runners and decided to join in.
Hey, where are they going?
Yeah, and so I just, you know, I my favorite thing about any race, whether it's an Ironman, a marathon, or a Spartan race, is I've always loved the people running. Like, you see these people, and so anyway, I saw this guy in a wetsuit, and I thought, guy's so funny. He has no shoes on and he's running. And there's like rocks and shells. Like he's running in a running race. He has no shoes. This was before people did that. And so anyway, I see him and he ended up, like he comes right to me and I'm just clapping and he grabs a thing of water and he kind of looks at me and I look at him and he took a sip and I said, what are you doing? You have no shoes on. You're crazy. Don't you know there's a race going on? And he literally like took a sip of water and looked at me and put it down. And he's like, what's your name? And I said, my name's Courtney. And he happened to know the guy I was standing next to just randomly.
Okay.
I hadn't been talking to him. I said my name was Courtney. We had like a quick conversation about it, how he was barefoot. And I said, you know, my grandmother always called them like your tootsies. Don't your tootsies hurt when you're barefoot on the rocks at the beach? And he thought that was, I don't know, he didn't say anything. And then he literally ran off and I just cheered for him. And then I started cheering for the next person. And the guy standing next to me all of a sudden was more interested, like, hey, where are you from? Are you married? I'm like, no, you know, where do you work? And I told him where I worked. And that was it. I crossed the street and I thought I'd never see anybody ever again. And the next day, I get a call in my office, and it's this guy, Joe. Hey, you know, this is Joe D. from New York, and I met you. And I thought, I don't know anyone named Joe D. I deleted it. I didn't know a Joe D. So then I get an email a couple hours later, and it's like, hey,
I'm pushing.
That guy. Well, he asked that guy where I worked. He followed up later and said, you know, tell me about that girl, you know, that talked about my tootsies. You know, what's her deal? And so... that was it. And then,
And how many years ago was that?
That was, it'll be 15 years. We've been married this year in September. So I guess it was like 17 years ago.
In September, you're going to sign up for another year?
I guess so.
My wife and I always say we're going to sign one more year extension.
I think so. Yeah.
At times, I think we've gotten it down to 6 months or maybe three, but.
Yeah, I'll take them one more year.
All right, because we're going to ask about the first date. Then.
Oh, wait,
right?
Hold on.
Yes.
Remember how you were saying how he's such a good dad, like he always spends time with the kids? It's true. Like when we were in Vancouver this year, he will have a crazy schedule and he'll fly home just to spend 12 hours with the kids and take them to wrestling or hockey or, you know, to take them hiking.
Yeah.
He's pretty incredible when it comes to that. Like he maximizes his time with the kids. And
all right. So we talked a little, we had a great story about how you guys first met and how he spotted you out of a crowd and made an excuse to come over and get some water. Cause we both know Joe doesn't really need that little
cup
of water.
He doesn't even drink.
So he came specifically over to you.
No, I think he was delirious I caught him at a weak moment. And,
I think as he was running down the road and you were clapping, he had already zoned in.
It just worked out. And I ended up going down to New York to see him and we did a massive, kayak trip that was like I don't know how many hours. It was a really long kayak trip. I had never kayaked. And he said, we're going to go kayaking with a bunch of friends. So we went out there and we like paddled for hours and hours from somewhere in like East Hampton to somewhere, you know. He says we only went East Hampton to Southampton, which on a map is not that far.
Sure, but in the water and the currents.
He lied. I don't know. I didn't know the area well then. I still don't know it that well now. But we were out there for like 14 hours or 10 hours.
Well,
we had no water either.
But that's a classic Joe thing,
right?
There
were boats going by with like guys on it throwing us bottles. Like we were too far. We had drifted into like a spot. And two people started off with us, two other boats, and they turned back.
They said to hell with it.
But I was just stuck with him. And, you know, I was in the front and I was trying to paddle. At one point, I couldn't hold my paddle anymore. Oh. And then I was like laying down and he just loved it. He was so happy. He was paddling. He was like the engine and we kept going and it was like 50 dates wrapped into one. It was like being in prison with someone. I knew all his stories by the end of it.
Was he testing you to see how long you could hang in there?
I think he was testing me, yeah.
But you decided, well, all right, and you went on date number two, so it all turned out.
Yeah, I mean, he's great, you know. He's great.
Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't go on a second date
after
that?
I had never met anyone like him. I still don't know anyone else like him.
No, I'll give you that.
Yeah, he's so funny. I think that's the other thing. He has such a warm... I mean, you know he's tougher on the exterior, but he has such a generous heart, and he is so wickedly funny.
Yeah, he's very quick.
So hard to stay mad at him, even when he, like, shows up with, you know, a pit bull and like a horse, you know, a horse or like people to live with you or just random stuff. He just cracks me up, you know. He makes me laugh.
And from what I can tell, he does not stay mad.
No, right? He doesn't. I mean, he doesn't hold
a grudge. At least in a business world, he just cuts it loose and lets it go.
He brushes it off. He kind of just, you know, things happen and, you know, he's better at kind of letting bygones be bygones. And yeah, and he actually is amazing at that. I'm a little more like...
Yeah, no, I get it.
But with the kids, I feel like I have to be, somebody has to, you know, hold the grudges. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
So anyway, this was a phenomenal conversation. I thank you for allowing me this privilege to sit here and talk to you like this.
Well, you're so lovely. I'll always talk to you. I just didn't want to do it in front of a camera.
Yeah,
but
well, okay. So it was a great...
You got me. And yeah. I didn't cry, so this is fine.
I'm not to that level yet. I'm not to that level. I can make somebody cry if I'm yelling at them,
okay,
maybe, but not this kind
of
stuff.
I'm glad you didn't yell at me.
Listen, I didn't listen to my wife, but I watched it. Anything negative about me, she said, or am I okay there?
Yep, you're in the clear. It's amazing.
I can't believe she did it.
People love you. You know why?
But she's definitely my better 7/8. Let's talk about 200 episodes and what really excited you. What were the ones that jumped out at you?
The one that I come back to a lot, re-listen to, and also just play back in my head is... Kareem. What was his last name?
Kareem Jude.
Kareem Jude from Lebanon?
Lebanon.
Tortured, beaten, thrown on an airplane with no money and, you know, just like thrown out of the country, never come back. I mean, he was already, he owned, I think, like essentially all the real estate in Lebanon and he had to go to another country after being tortured and beaten.
Iran.
Yep. And
thrown out of Iran.
Yeah.
Started over, thrown out of Iran and then to L.A. with a dollar in his pocket. The guy now just wants to help people. Just wants to help people. Turn a little that way. So we get some sun on Zach's face. There we go. But next episode jumps out at me. I don't know if it jumps out at you. Jennifer Gilbert.
That was intense. And when you talk about change your frame of reference, when you say, oh, this was so hard for me, so painful for me, you could think about that and you could say, wow. My day's going pretty darn good.
No, you can't complain about anything, right?
That's right.
She picks it up and she gets in the party business after being attacked like that. And not many people know it, but you watch that podcast, there's going to be a moment where there's a problem with the camera. Marion's listening to the story was so intense, she collapses and faints right there listening to it. Richard Branson obviously jumps out. Mark Divine jumps out. You know, there's an episode that no one's seen yet because this gentleman would not let us film. He's one of the wealthiest men in the world, George A. LeMond, but I want to give some lessons. I want to tell you what I learned from him.
Okay.
That's in the interview that you just came
out. We did that. All right. So
just pick it up.
Yeah. All right. Well, Marion just pointed out that's in the interview. So so what other ones jump out at you? Anybody else?
Nate Carr
is a great, that guy, amazing.
Favorite.
Amazing.
I loved how he was talking about his family couldn't, they didn't have a lot of money, so he went to the junkyard and picked up an old car axle, carried it home, put it in the basement, and he said, you know, I laid down and did my bench press with the car axle, and I did the curls. And I just thought, like, his attitude towards life was so positive. He was, you know, first of all, he was, I'm not sure how many times he wrestled in the Olympics, but I remember watching him when I was a kid and just seeing how explosive he was. But hearing him speak about life and just, like, the love he has for people and just being great.
Yeah.
It just was so inspiring. And I think a lot of people could relate, could learn lessons from that, whether they wrestle or not. He was all about just self-improvement and being great and being kind to other people.
I loved him. Another great one. And I've become good friends with him.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Wheel. I don't know if you saw that one, but she's out in San Francisco, super, super successful in Silicon Valley. And one thing she said was everybody should have their own personal board of directors. Isn't that a great idea, right?
Yeah.
Right, have four or five people around you that are much more intelligent than you are, much more motivated than you, and they're pulling you up in life instead of pushing you down. Barry Hearns.
Oh, he was Barry Hearns was awesome, and I remember you said, you know, what should people do if they're not inspired or have goals? He goes, I think they should crawl into a corner and die. And you were like, I love this guy.
Yeah,
and you kind of just felt you were at a conference and you didn't, you just. kind of grabbed him, but that inspired me. And what's interesting is, like, every week I need to listen to that Spartan Up podcast. To me, it's like a punch in the face. That's like, get out there. I thought it was, he was tough, but I loved it. If
Barry Hearns was a left hook, yes. The follow-up right hook is Dan Pena.
Or Pena, yeah. And you said, you asked him a similar question. You know, what do you say to the people that are not so motivated? And he goes, I rip off their heads. And then you go, I think that's a perfect ending right there. And I love how, you know, it was a bit of a cliffhanger. I wanted to hear so much more.
Yeah.
But sometimes we don't need to hear more. We need to get... You know, we need to get the punch in the face
right. From
Dan Pena, Barry Hearns.
You know what's been consistent throughout all 200 is if you're supposed to meet them at 7 a.m. in London or wherever you are, they're there at 6:45. They're dressed. They're ready to go. They're prepped. These are people that just get done in life.
Here's what I like to say about that, and I tell this to my son. If you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. If you're late... you know, I have choice words there, but if you're late, I mean, you obviously don't care. You're not serious. You're not about it. You know?
Last thing, let's hit. I get thousands and thousands of people that say, Joe, you and your friends are just motivated. I'm not motivated. How do I get motivated? What do you say to them?
Sometimes we're not motivated, so it's the discipline to just do those things. But also going back to what you said about having your board of directors, you know, you're part of my board of directors. You've got to elevate your social circles and elevate your thinking and elevate the books that you read, you know, like read all the Spartan Up and your new book coming out. And I think you just have to constantly feed your mind, feed your brain, feed your social circle, everything that just makes you better, and get rid of the things that weigh you down, that are like an anchor.
Sweat every day, eat healthy, hang out with people that pull you up in life.
Wake up early, go to bed early.
Don't drink.
Don't drink.
Get rid of the coffee.
Be good to people. Right?
It's
kind to people.
It's easy.
It's so simple, it's complicated.
How do you get the Spartan Up? Spartan.com/podcast. Check it out. Invite, I don't know, 10 or 20,000 of your closest friends to subscribe.
Yes.
Check out the new book. If you're out there and you don't have the money to race, shoot me an email, joe@spartan.com. We're never going to let money get in the way of you getting fit. We'll get you out there. So
I might
sign you up for the Army, but that's a separate story.
That's right.
See ya.
See ya.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Athletic Greens. Ensure your body gets the nutrition it needs. Athletic Greens has a special offer for our listeners. Just go to athleticgreens.com/Spartan, and then when you place your order, they'll send you a free travel pack with 20 individually wrapped packets. That's a free offer just for our listeners. Thanks for listening to another epic story of success. If you like our show, be sure to tell your friends about it. We want to hear from you. Just leave us a comment below if you're watching on YouTube, or if you're listening, go to Twitter and find us at Spartan Up Pod or Instagram at Spartan Up Podcast and let us know what you think. Then go subscribe on iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you listen to our show. Spartan Up is brought to you by Spartan Race. To find a race near you, visit Spartan.com.